The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I've seen all kinds of love in my life. I've seen the love of a child for her mother, such that she worked a full day, then drove a 3-hour round trip to see her in the hospital every day for weeks. I've seen the half century long plus love of a spouse who crawls into bed with her husband to hold him as he breathed his last. I've seen the love teachers have for their students, buying supplies, food, even clothes for them from their own funds, because that is part of what they need to be successful. I've seen the love of people for their community, a love that even after utter devastation vows to rebuild and perseveres through years of hard work and incremental progress. I've seen all kinds of love in my life. I've also been a recipient of all kinds of love. My mother's enveloping love, which I still imagine as the softness of her lap, the lub-dub of her heart beating as I curled up there as a child. The harder but no less real love of my father, a rock in which I can trust so that I might do scary things. The love of friends who would do things for me that I dared not even ask before I asked them. The love of a spouse, unexpected, undeserved, and freeing. Love. It's a word in English that's almost devoid of meaning because it can have so many meanings. A shortcoming in our language, to be sure. I can love pizza, but I do so in a different way than I love reading, which is different than how I love my wife, which is different than how I love the members of this assembly. The Greek of Jesus' day has at least three words for love to help people express these differences. There's eros, for the intimate love expressed between lovers. There's philia, that covers the love of pizza, the love of friends and community. There is storge, for the love shared within a family. And finally, there is agape. This is the unconditional, other-centered love God has for us, a kind of love that the theologian Thomas Aquinas says wills the good of another. It's this last kind of love that is expressed in Jesus in our text today. And this is unsurprising, since the Gospel of John is often called the love gospel. The word love appears in this Gospel of John 39 times, far more than any other gospel. The next highest is Luke with just 12. And of those 39 times, love is shown in English. 37 of them are translations of agape. And of those, 31 occur in what is called Jesus' farewell discourse, which starts in this chapter and goes for four more. Love also begins the Gospel of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Love, agape, this self-sacrificial, other-centered love that looks only towards the good of the other. For God so willed the good of the world that he gave his only Son. Our reading tonight in John says this about Jesus: having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Our reading closes with the commandment, mandatum in Latin, that gives this evening service its name, Maundy Thursday. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. I have loved you so that you can love one another. The love of God in Jesus Christ is the means, the reason by which we are able to even begin to love agape one another. And so in this way, Jesus' love for us is not so much an example as it is the means that releases and enables us to love one another. The renowned commentator on the Gospel of John, Raymond Brown, puts it this way: the mark that distinguishes God's love expressed here from even the noblest forms of human love is that it is spontaneous and unmotivated, directed to men who are sinners and unworthy of love. There's a generosity to God's love that does not exist in our more transactional world. We love those who deserve it because they've earned it, or it's something that I owe them. Yeah, it's my brother, I have to love him. But the love of God expressed to us through Jesus Christ is something else, because it is expressed to those who do not deserve it. Expressed in the act of foot washing for those close friends, students, companions who will even this night betray, deny, or abandon him. Expressed in the words Jesus has for his own executors: Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It's not right or just that they should receive this grace and mercy of God, but that is just what the agape love of God in Jesus Christ does. Do you hear tonight that this agape love is for you? Can you believe it is so? Regardless of why you are here, of what you have done, of where your life is going, right now, in this place, at this time, God's grace and mercy is for you. You are loved, agape. And in this love, you are saved. Saved from all that threatens to destroy or drown or diminish you. Can you be so bold tonight as to believe that is so and receive this gift of grace and love? Even more so, can you carry even a ghosting of that love with you? Can you dream? Can you dare to share this cup with everyone? Those who we consider deserving, but most importantly, those who we don't. I believe we need this journey through Holy Week as human beings. That this walk over the next 3 days is one of the deepest gifts we receive as followers of Jesus, because it is only when we move past our own self-delusion and self-denial, when we stare at our own betrayal, denial, and abandonment of Jesus with clear eyes and still see the love, the grace, the mercy God has for us in the cup that is shared, the bread that is broken for us. Only then can we be truly transformed. Only then, in the depths of the same hopelessness that the disciples felt on that Good Friday, as they stared up at the cross, at all their hopes and dreams, bloody and dead there, only then could the resurrection of their souls happen. Because it is not our dreams and hopes that animates us, but God's. And God's dream, God's hopes are expressed in Jesus, the one who loves us into transformation and beyond, the one who enables us, calls us, empowers us to go and love others with the same selfless abandon that Jesus does, to love everyone without exception, with a love that only wills the good of the other, even at the cost of myself. True agape love is hard. It means taking risks. Risks of being embarrassed, of being hurt deeply. The risk of rejection, of being put on literal and figurative crosses. But once we know, not up here, but down here, in our heart, in the depth of who we are, once we know that love for ourselves, once we've taken up God's hope and dream for the world, none of the rest of it matters. What matters only is love for the other, neighbors, strangers, friends and enemies, those who will love us in return and those who will seek to kill us. How will we enact this love? This awesome, stupefying, perplexing, terrifying, transforming, soft lap heartbeat of God enveloping kind of love. How will we enact this love? Give it flesh for the life of the world. Let us ponder this love. How we are freed by it, how we are bound to it. But mostly this night, receive this love that is given freely for you.